A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. So protein is everywhere, in the grocery aisles, in our coffees, wherever we're going. Protein proliferation is here. So today I wanted to dive into that craze. You know, why is it everywhere? What does it mean for our grocery carts? What does it mean for our bodies? It's not just for athletes anymore. It's front and center for all of us. So I looked around, made a bunch of calls, and found a really good expert to join us in studio to get the latest insights on protein. Emily Williamson is a registered dietitian working in the grocery and communication space. So she has a wonderful handle on this issue, and she's going to break it down. Like, what does 10 grams of protein even mean, and how is it changing the grocery aisles at Roundy's? Emily's going to join us in just a bit later in the show. And it's travel time and holiday time and lots of changes in the world of Marcus Hotels and Resorts, especially here in downtown Milwaukee at the Associated Bank Center. John Wise from Marcus Hotels is going to join us to tell us all that's new at Marcus, including what's happening at the Pfister for the holidays. And speaking of holidays, it is definitely that time of the year. 20 years ago, Capco Metal Stamping launched Capco Kids to Kids, a holiday toy drive with the goal of, you know, you can guess, simply providing toys for kids in need. This year, again, WTMJ is hosting Trivia Showdown, a chance for all the fans, all the listeners, the entire community to support the annual Capco Kids to Kids toy drive and also flex your knowledge a little bit when it comes to trivia. There's going to be some local trivia. There's going to be some national trivia. And you get to battle the wits with us, WTMJ hosts. So you can join WTMJ in giving back this holiday by gathering your friends, showing off your trivia skills. The first one, next week, Wednesday night, November 12th, out at the beautiful Revere's Wells Street Tavern in Delafield, not too far from my parents' house. I hope my mom and dad are going to walk down and spend some time with their son. But you're going to be able to join me and the wonderful hosts of Point Taken, Kristen Bry and Steve Scafidi. They are the trivia experts for sure. They are the superstars. I'm just going to be there for, you know, maybe I'll answer a question or two. I guarantee it's going to be a good time. One thing I want you to do, bring several toys. And if you can't join us, just go to WTMJ.com, get all the information, and make a donation online. Coming up next, John Wise joins us from Marcus Hotels and Resorts. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Last month, Marcus Hotels and Resorts unveiled its latest creations at the beautiful Associated Bank River Center building right here in downtown Milwaukee on Kilbourne Avenue. It's led by the culinary team at St. Kate, the Arch Hotel. A couple new destinations in the Marcus portfolio, so we wanted to dive in, find out what they're all about. John Wise joins us in studio. John, thanks for taking time out of your day to be here.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Of course. So, River Center Market and Upper Bar are the newest places in your portfolio. What inspired kind of the revamp of these existing spaces? Just kind of give us the origin story.
Well, we needed something to celebrate our 90th anniversary.
That's important.
That's the short answer.
Fun. Okay.
So, yeah, it's 90 years, Marcus, hotels and resorts and theaters celebrating. Really cool. Well, about a year ago, we moved into the new bank as our headquarters building.
Okay.
And there was an existing food court resort and bar was there.
Yeah.
And it just made sense after a while that we would take over the operations of that. And we also, our staff loves eating there, too. We needed to provide them something, a place to eat.
You walk out the St. Kate and you got a few more.
Exactly. I mean, you can only eat so much proof pizza, right?
That's right.
As good as it is.
So walk us through kind of some of the food selections and the daily specials, like at the River Center Market. And what's this all about? Like, paint the picture for what that space looks like.
Right. Well, you know, we're centrally located downtown, which is good. That people are coming back into the offices, which is great for Milwaukee. But, you know, and there are other competitors around. And when you open up a new concept, the first thing you do is you look for holes in the market, what's not available. Hmm. So very quickly it became obvious there was no place really downtown that you could go and get a made-to-order burger that wasn't fast food or counter. I mean, there wasn't a sit-down order.
Yeah.
Not a place you could just walk in, order, and walk out with a burger. The rents are really too high, you know, to have that. So we have a great smash burger. Our corporate chef, Mark Weber, you know, specialized a recipe at Miller Time. He does a great hot honey fried chicken sandwich to order, a classic Reuben sandwich. So it's divided into a couple stations. Yeah. It's not as big as what you have here.
Right.
But we have a lot of choices.
Yeah. Well, and I think more choices for the downtown workers and the tourists. Ultimately, the pie expands. I mean, are you seeing that in the food and beverage space, or are we getting to a point that, oh my gosh, there's too many options?
Well, we haven't been open a summer yet to really see the tourist thing. I mean, we opened up, as you said, just over a month ago. But, I can tell from the garage when we first moved over there, not a lot of cars, and now that garage is full every day. So we know there are a lot of people working in the office, and it's funny, working with the building, the Associated Bank building, our workers need healthy food. You know, they need the salads, the soups. And guess what our most popular items are?
It's the burger.
The smash burger, the fried chicken, and that kind of stuff.
I mean, convenience drives everything, right? And you want to go to something that you are used to and that is at a decent price point and you know that there's quality and it's going to fill you up.
Right. And timing is everything. And we made sure that we're very efficient with it. And, you know, as the weather gets colder, our business is just going up because nobody's going to want to go out in the rain and the snow and hunt around and look for food. And you can't brown bag it every day, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So another new Marcus property in the same building is the Upper Bar. How does that complement the market and kind of complete that experience for you?
Well, you know, it came with it. It was kind of packaged. They're on different floors. The market's on the center floor of the building at 111 East Kilbourn. And you just take a short escalator ride, and, you know, we've got a lot of new signage coming in, and you have this beautiful bar, you know, that's a part indoors, part outdoors. It's got a patio. It's got a river view. There are fire pits there. And the building built it as an amenity for the workers for happy hour. And, of course, surrounded by the theaters and the sports stadiums, you know, at night there's a lot of activity, people looking.
I mean, great views of the Milwaukee River, the Marcus Center across the street. Like, it's just a wonderful location.
It's great. And, you know, we do happy hour, but we get a lot of business right now. You know, the Rep is reopened after their year-long renovation, and we have people coming in before a show or a Bucks game, and that's great, too. And then the real thing is, people are booking private parties in this beautiful bar space. So we do that. We do partial, you know, semi-private groups, and we do private buyouts as well.
Yeah, I really get that sense that the market can command more event rental spaces, small, medium, and large, right? And you got to see that in the hotel space.
Well, Well, St. Kate is, you know, despite all the wonderful food and beverage we have there, it's not really a large hotel. It's just over a couple hundred rooms. We have one ballroom. And so we book some really nice, you know, high-level weddings, and we don't have space for, like, a rehearsal dinner. And this space becomes really good for that.
We're talking with John Wise from Marcus Hotels. So let's dive in a little bit, John, into food and beverage trends that you're seeing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I sense that, you know, Wisconsin's in a bit of a alcohol bubble, if you will. You know, maybe oblivious to some of the dining and drinking trends that you're seeing across the country. Are you seeing that in terms of NA drinks and THC drinks and craft cocktails that aren't alcohol-based?
100%, Jeff.
Okay.
Nationwide, there's a wine glut. you know, and the wineries are lowering their prices.
Yeah.
You hear about a lot of the craft breweries going out of business, right? And so we're seeing, we recognize this, and we wanted to make sure that we give people a lot of choices. So about a year ago, we started putting in bigger non-alcoholic sections, mocktails, juices, and these have become very popular. Mm. And then the real game changer a couple months ago is we started rolling out the THC products.
Okay.
And that is a game changer.
Yeah, I'm hearing that from a lot of bar and restaurant owners that it's, you know, they're very popular. People are kind of going into it
right.
loosely because they want to know the parameters around
right.
it and what it's
yeah.
going to do, but it's legal and it's another option.
Right, for the moment. Nobody knows what's going to happen.
Yes.
You know, we have 15 hotels, you know, that we own and manage across the country, and it's different rules in different states. And at some point, I figure the government will catch up to it. They're
yeah.
always a step behind, like the pot dispensaries and everything else. But this, right now, it is legal. Education is key. You know, we had to have all of our staff train and understand it's different than drinks. You shouldn't mix the two. And we're starting off with very low dosage type drinks.
Okay.
And the other thing to know about THC is it doesn't hit you right away.
Mm-hmm.
So don't misunderstand, oh, I had one, I mean, nothing's happening, I'll have two or three, and
yeah.
then it hits you. It's a delayed reaction. But it's working out great in the bars, the restaurants, and in your room, in room sure. service. Who wouldn't want to take one of those and relax before you go to bed?
A new addition to the minibar. Indeed, yes. All right. When we come back, John, I want to talk a little bit more about the food trends that you're seeing in your spaces.
Sure.
Holidays are upon us for sure. I know
yep.
all the hotels are decorated and ready with a ton of events. And then talk kind of global and macro in terms of what's the next big thing for downtown dining. This
right.
is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. John Wise from Marcus Hotels and Resorts joins us in studio. John, again, I appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Having fun.
So, food and beverage trends that you're seeing across all of your properties, what are you championing now in terms of innovation and guest experience in Milwaukee?
Well, you said the key word there is experience. I mean, ever since we're still living this post-COVID era where people are looking for special yeah. things to do, and we're trying to provide that. We did recently rebrand our restaurant at the St. Kate Hotel from Aria to Studio to kind of take advantage of this a little bit.
Okay.
And about a year ago, we rolled out sushi and brought you folks a little sample here. I know it's
all
past
right.
lunch, but help yourself.
Okay.
And
all right.
I
Very
think it's
good.
Pretty good.
All right.
You know, Greg came up to me and said, I want to have sushi here. And I go, sure, right. I thought he was joking.
Okay.
But he wasn't joking.
Can
so,
I ask how you source the sushi?
Right.
Like, so how do you do that on scale then?
Well, I've been in the business 50 years and I've done a lot of things, but sushi's a new thing to me.
Yeah.
And I had to think about it and went back to them and I said, well, we're going to need X amount of equipment. We're going to need X amount of salaries. And I'm going to need 2 to 3 months to find the right people yeah. to do it.
Because there's an expectation with sushi. Like
100%.
You're an aficionado and you need it
right.
to be at a certain level or you're probably not going to come back that
right.
second time.
Well, candidly, I didn't start eating sushi till I was 30. Right? Before you guys were born. So, and what I learned is, okay, it's good, but I can eat only really the good stuff. I can't be eating supermarkets
yeah, yeah.
and gas station sushi, which is my name for a great toxic rock band, gas station sushi. But anyhow, so it had, you know, I'd go to Chicago, New York, LA, whatever, because, you know, the sushi in Milwaukee was okay. It wasn't great. But things have really started to explode right now, and we're very fortunate. We found a 25-year sushi chef veteran, you know, born in LA, worked around the country, Miami, consulted in France, and just the sweetest guy you ever saw. So he did some tastings for us. We were blown away, and we had to raise our expectations. We thought it's going to be this little thing we'll do in the restaurant. We sell a ton in the lobby bar of the hotel, in-room dining, catering. And when I found out how good he was, I said, we need to do omakases.
Hmm.
We need to do twice a month in our dark room, special event space, intimate dinners, 14 people, and we're doing two a month, and they're selling out. Now, we're not the only ones doing that. There are other people doing that.
Right.
There are two new sushi restaurants getting ready to open again. So there's
one right down the street on Water Street.
Yeah. Right. And another omakase one not too far away. So it's definitely sushi is really coming of age here in Milwaukee. Hmm. We're thrilled to be a part of it. I think what we're doing is some of the best sushi in Milwaukee, and you'll let me know what you think.
All right. Does that speak to kind of the level, the elevation level of the entire dining experience, if you will, in Milwaukee that we've grown up?
Well, omakases are that kind of a thing, right? I mean, never really was happening here, but it's been happening in the bigger cities. We bought a hotel a couple years ago in Minneapolis, and I hadn't done much work in Minneapolis. And as I did my research, I was stunned how many high-quality ethnic restaurants. And that's the next kind of thing that's happening. And you see that in bigger cities. And these are smaller mom-and-pop places. And I'm looking all the top restaurants are Asian or, you know, or Latin, and we're going to see more of that here in the market too, and more small plate restaurants as well.
Yeah, and if you can anchor those to personality driven chefs that they all like to showcase what they do, even better. And if you have that guest experience that is already there, that story travels, and that's important.
Yeah, and, you know, again, we're still in the selfie generation, right? And everybody wants to take pictures of themselves in a dark room and sushi and doing fun different things that their neighbors aren't doing.
Yes. Well, one of the best ways to get some good photos and selfies is holiday time.
Right.
The hotels are totally activated, full of lights and events. Maybe you're still working on it. You know,
no.
We're almost there.
No,
let's talk about
it's
the hotel.
So big now. You know, I worked in New York for a brief period of time, and if you've ever spent any time in New York City in the holidays, you see, you know, the big hotels like the Plaza were so busy and decorated. And we said, well, why can't we have that? Well, that is the Pfister. You know, and I'm going to use the word to a T, you know, because they've been very big with their afternoon teas.
Yes.
We've doubled that in the last 2 or 3 years, and that's another experiential thing, you know, people going out to these teas and getting all dressed up. But coming up, I mean, we have, we were doing Breakfast with Santa, you know, a couple of them, and it's blown up so much, we now have 8 scheduled at the Pfister, multiple seatings, all selling out. We're doing them at the St. Kate now. The Pfister does a tree lighting ceremony that they're doing on November 28th. We're doing gingerbread workshop classes at the Pfister for the kids. St. Kate is doing a vendor fair, a marketplace with 60 vendors. The places are all decorated up. They're all open on Christmas and Thanksgiving, and Mason Street's doing, you know, take and bake dinners. You can take the food home and heat it up. There's just so much. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day brunch at St. Kate, Bubbles and Brunch. It's crazy.
And are you seeing an increase compared to last year in terms of event bookings? Are corporate parties back? That's always in the news space, that's always an item like, corporate parties. Where are they booking and are they still big?
Well, if you remember, you know, last year we had RNC here, you know, back in 24. And, you know, it was, you know, we did very well. I know some people didn't, but, you know, the hotel rooms were good and the banquet space was good and we had really good revenues. And everybody said, oh, we're going to go down the next year because we don't have RNC. Wrong. Our business without RNC is actually even up. Hmm. And that goes to your point. I mean, we're still doing a lot of weddings, Geneva, Pfister, even St. Kate is a beautiful place for a stylish, not stuffy wedding. But yeah, and the corporate business is back. I just left St. Kate today. The whole place is full on Monday and Tuesday nights in November. Yeah. I mean, that's great.
Well, and it's great to have, you know, the Bucks back and Marquette back and UWM back. It just further activates the downtown area, and it's going to be good for your business.
Yeah, that's a big part of it, too. Theater, sports. It feels like COVID almost never happened.
That's right. All right, John, I appreciate your time giving us an update on all that's new at Marcus, and we'll see you for some of the Christmas and holiday events very soon.
I hope so.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Today, we're going to dive into the protein trend. It's nutritional importance, for sure, but I think it's kind of reshaping our grocery aisles, especially with the holidays coming up. I wanted to dive in to this proliferation of protein. It is everywhere. So Emily Williamson is the Division Corporate Affairs Manager at Roundy's, Emily is also a registered dietitian, and she's in studio with us. Emily, thanks for your time.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Of course. So how – let's just get right into this protein thing because it is like everywhere, like Starbucks you're being said, oh, just add protein, pasta. Everywhere is protein right now. Has public attitudes towards protein changed? And kind of what's driving this? Is it marketing? Is there something more? Just level set on protein for us.
Absolutely. Your timing could not be better on this topic. Okay. Protein is very hot right now. We actually just launched a whole new protein set, Simple Truth protein line in store. So when you're saying you're seeing it everywhere, we're putting it in the aisle too because shoppers are asking us for it. So, you know, there's a lot of potential factors in what's driving the attention to protein right now. It is a very important nutrient and part of what your body needs and those amino acids as well as fiber and fats. But there's also a lot of attention on it in platforms like social media platforms right now, where people are very excited about their use of protein. And because they have social media, they can tell others about their desire to utilize this nutrient and how they're utilizing it, which makes a lot of attention to it and sometimes some challenges for us as nutrition professionals.
So it's more than a moment, for sure. But how do we know, like, how much we need? I think people are still maybe struggling with, what does 56 grams of sugar in my soda mean? Like, how are we supposed to know, like, what's too much from a protein standpoint?
That's such a great question. So before I break it down, I'm going to give you a couple of tools that we're providing you in store, on your phone, on your computer, that's going to help answer some of those questions, right, which includes that added sugar question you just mentioned.
All right.
So the first thing I want to talk about is, I love that we have this on our website. It's called Food Health Score. So when you go up and you open up the website, the app, you find the item you're looking at, and you look at those product details, it's going to give you a score. And that score helps make it so easy to digest rather than looking at nutrition facts panels, ingredients lists. What do all of those things mean? This is intended to be a way that is scientifically based to say, hey, this is kind of balancing it out. It looks at the quality of the ingredients and the nutritional content as well. So it's kind of looking at those things like added sugars, all of those questions. To answer your question about protein, though.
Because if I'm looking at this pasta right here, 16 grams of protein, I just don't know what that means.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the recommended dietary allowance today says 0.8 grams per kilogram is the recommended protein amount. You're like, what is that?
Yeah, I'm going to need an app for that or something.
Absolutely. So let's say you happen to be 110 pounds.
Okay.
Really easy math to do. You take your weight divided by 2.2. So if you're 110 pounds divided by 2.2, and then you multiply, so then you're at 50.
Okay.
Fun fact.
All right.
And then 0.8 is that RDA. So I'm going to need my calculator here. So we've got.
You didn't know we were going to have math on the upswing today. But we are. This speaks to a bigger trend, though, in terms of how people are shopping and the access and the use of technology as you're walking down the aisles. And I'm sure you're seeing that in your stores now. People are not only have their lists digitally and are using the digital coupons, but they're coming at with whatever app they have and inputting their buys real time.
Absolutely. They're inputting their data. They're hopefully utilizing what we've provided for them as tools. So, you know, that recommended dietary allowance, it's about 40 grams if you're a 110-pound human. If you're looking at some of the newer research, as we age, we might need more protein. I've read studies that are recommending maybe a gram per kilogram, so that would be 50 grams. So when you're saying, how much do I need per meal, you're going to want to kind of break that down into, you know, three meals a day, a couple of snacks. What does that look like? So that's really where it's really great to get this protein option, because some of those meals, like breakfast, we talked about breakfast at the start of that.
I walked in, I saw Cheerios protein. Like, what does that mean? Do I need protein in my cereal?
So when you're talking about in the morning, you know, I as an adult can make very mindful choices on what I'm putting in my breakfast bowl. But as you have tiny humans running around the house, they're like, Mom, Dad, I just want waffles. So the protein waffles that we've got, I've got some examples here. That's a great way to add some additional protein into breakfast, serve it as a well-rounded meal. Because as a dietitian, that's what we're always kind of trying to stress. Don't overstimulate with one thing, balance it out. So serve it with some fruit, I love chia seeds. That's a great source of protein fiber. Mix that with some fruit and make a jam yourself. Yeah. There's just a lot of options that you can do to help build. But again, it's really about that well-rounded experience and making sure that you're eating a balanced meal.
Talking with Emily Williamson from Roundies. Emily, so one thing I noticed, I want to talk technology a little bit more as I'm walking through the aisles at the stores. You have the electronic price tags now that allow for quick change, I'm guessing, and a little bit better data capture on your end. How can the consumer then best price check when they're walking down the aisle?
Well, that tag is hopefully eliminating that need because it's really about providing that value and making sure that we're delivering that right at the shelf.
Okay.
The app is my favorite tool. I mean, everything, you know, from the nutrition nerd where I can see my nutrition insights every time I shop and I get a score. But you also get to see where things are in aisles. So if I'm in a new store and I'm like, where do they keep whatever I'm looking for? Okay. You know, I love... For example, I'm looking for, you know, that Simple Truth pasta sauce that I've been craving. I can pull it right up in the app and it'll tell me what aisle it's located in. So technology is really helping us drive home, you know, that valiance, that value, and also helping that speed, helping our shoppers shop faster, get them the information they need. And the tools, there's recipes, there's inspiration. You can shop right from those recipes. Yeah. There's just so much that we can do with technology to help with that convenience and continue to drive value for our shoppers.
When we come back for the break, I want to dive in a little bit more to functional food choices, prepared meals, and kind of on-the-go, grab-and-go. If you're seeing more of that, if we kind of 100% return to more grab-and-go at grocery stores, or is the price sensitivity of it all driving people away from that? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Emily Williamson from Roundies joins us in studio. Good conversation around protein and kind of what's new in your grocery aisles. Emily, are you seeing people shopping differently in terms of price sensitivity? And then has that affected the prepared foods space at scale?
That's such a great question. What people are really looking for is they're looking for value and they're looking for inspiration. So that means something different to everyone, which is what we're providing is so many different things. So as you come into stores, you're going to find those ingredients, those raw ingredients, if you want to make it from scratch. You're going to find prepared meals if you want something to grab and go. We talked a little bit about global inspiration before we started recording. There's so much to discover when you come to the store as well. I brought some of Jose Andreas's chips, but in a few select metro markets, we're going to have some frozen food items from him coming later this year. Yeah. We've got Mama De Pandy. So just so much inspiration. The Fishwife. I grabbed some of my favorites here. The Drunken Goat Cheese is one of Wendy Bauman's favorites. She's in our Wendy's Way in the latest Metro Market magazine.
Nice.
So it's a lot about that inspiration.
Yeah.
But we've got that conventional grocery store, too. And if you want to discover something local in the aisle, you're going to find that along the way.
I mean, the competition in the grocery world is intense for sure. But as I was just talking to the guests before this on the hotel restaurant space, it goes to experience. And are you sensing that from the shopper that they want an enhanced experience, or is it just about utility and get me in and get me out?
They want it all, you know? So we're really about meeting the shopper where they're at. So there's a lot of shoppers that are saying, just bring it to my doorstep, drop it off, no fuss, no muss. I want to order it while I'm sitting there waiting for my kid. And then there's a lot of people who come in on a Friday night, grab a glass of wine, and wander through the aisles looking for that innovation and checking out all the new flavors that we have and all of the new variety and getting that inspiration. So everything in between, we're really there to make sure that we're supporting all the shoppers in the way that they're looking for engaging with us.
So I want to talk about stretching the family budget as we get into the holidays. But first, Emily, on the prepared food point, talk to us about how Roundies handles potential food surplus. I mean, there's so much food in all the stores. What's the process of food donation look like?
So you are talking, you know, right in our sweet spot. We want to make sure that everyone has access to food, right? So One of the big things that we do is we call it a fresh rescue program. So what we're doing is, for example, if you go in and visit our meat department, they're going to do some markdowns as things get close to their best by date. Right. But then they're going to pull it off of the shelf and put it into the freezer. And that's made available for donation to our, we call them fresh rescue partners. Okay. So different partners across the community. We're always looking for ways to do more and reach more people. So right now we're focusing on our Metro Market Shorewood store location. That's partnered with Kinship Community Center. And they are helping us explore how we can rescue the most food out of our dairy department as well. So we're taking everything from creamers and freezing those. We're taking the full department that's getting frozen, and Caitlin and the team there are utilizing that in their meal service program. They're handing that out to pantry members or visitors, and there's just so much that we can do to help continue to support our community. We don't really talk about that impact, but over the course of the year 2024, just to give you a metric, in the year of 2024, our organization across the state of Wisconsin, through Fresh Rescue and financial donations, we donated altogether, it was 20.7 million meals. So that is a lot of impact that we can do that we just don't always talk about. And we are doing it right out of the back door and with those food pantry partners.
I mean, especially important now with access to benefits being limited and access to food needed for sure.
Well, it's holiday season. If I can, yes. you know, holiday season is a really big part of the year where people want to bring family around the table. So some of the ways that we're helping this year, brand new, you're the first person I'm saying this aloud to outside of our organization.
Breaking news on the upswing. Let's go.
Breaking news. We, Pick and Save Metro Market and Mariano stores, over the course of the back half of the year, we're doing a lot to make it really easy for shoppers to join us in helping support our communities. We are now, we're going to be donating $50,000 in food to those local pantries. So that's at each store is getting a distribution of food that they are going to hand over to their local pantries. And our shoppers, if they want to join us in support, they can donate at the register, round up $1, $3, $5 in our grand giving. And then we also have sack hunger bags. So there's $5 food bags, 7 great items. We put those in at our cost, and that's about $5.50 at our cost. Okay. And then we retail those for $5 that they can purchase and then put in the food barrels at the front of the store. So all of this is part of that Food for Holidays program to benefit Feeding America Eastern Wisconsin and their pantry partners. It's just incredible the need that's out there and how we can all help rally together to do more to support our communities.
That's great. That's amazing. Coming up next, Emily, I want to talk about the heightened focus on price sensitivity. And what are some of the most interesting ways that you're seeing families stretch their grocery budget as we get into the big holiday season? Welcome back to The Upswing. Emily Williamson, Division Corporate Affairs Manager at Roundy's, also a registered dietitian, joins us in studio. To the price and cost standpoint, are you seeing now, as families are coming in and shopping, how are they looking to stretch the budget? Is it looking for more store brands? Is it just buying less? Like, what are some of the tips as we budget our grocery bills moving into the holiday time?
So I'm going to take it back to that value point, because really what value means to everyone is a little bit different, because you're telling me you want to get that convenience, right? So that might be value for you, that we're cutting up the fruit and putting it in a bowl.
Right.
So that's one of those things.
It might not be the least cost-effective option, right?
Hey, but
that's okay.
It's the right option for you, because that's what the time you have available.
Yes.
But we also have some families who are looking for really affordable ways to do that. We've got digital coupons. We've got fuel points with every purchase, trying to give you more, give you back that time that way. We partner with Incredible Humans as well. Chef Imani Graham is a local chef here. With those $5 food bags we just talked through, I challenged him. I said, what kind of amazing recipes can you make with this? He made 3 incredible recipes. So we're working with him to get that on our website now. We work with My Busy Kitchen. She loves shopping the deals. So she's working right now. Should be out late next week on her Thanksgiving menu. She's going to do a Thanksgiving menu for under $30. There's just so many ways that you can save with our store and finding that right value mix for you. So maybe you're teasing it with a few of those inspiration innovation items, right, and then rounding it out with some of those more affordable proteins like the lentils and the beans, and including that into your repertoire as well.
Is there a best time or a best day to shop? There's all this stuff out there. Oh, you have to shop on Saturdays because the prices are going to be a little lower, or Sundays because inventory is better. Like, give us that insider tip.
Well, the prices are the same all the time, whether you're in store or getting delivery.
Okay.
So you don't have to worry about that. I would say the best tip I can give you is to plan ahead and make a plan. Utilize the website. I'd love if you looked at those nutrition insights to see where your food is rating, and then kind of make the plan what might be best for your family. And if you have any questions, I'm a registered dietitian and I'm here with you today. There's only one of me, but if you want onto our app or onto the website, you can schedule a personalized visit with a dietitian as well. And that's right through the app. And that's something that you can get a personalized store tour to say, hey, my family is time crunched, but I'm also on a really tight budget. How can I make this work for me? And they can give you a personal tour, give you some tips on how to, if you need more protein, if you're looking for more ways to add fiber, help you kind of balance all of those things on a one-to-one basis.
You've been in the grocery store space for a long time in your career. What's one thing that people get wrong about grocery stores? Is it like there's a perception issue that just like keeps you up at night that you want to change? Like, what's that one thing that just bothers you?
One of the things that I would love people to know more about is that we do so much to buy local that I just don't know if people even know. If you went and got a pumpkin for Halloween, that was probably grown in Wisconsin, you know? So we've got local pumpkins, local squash, a lot of the organic items on what we call the wet wall, the green stuff. A lot of that's locally grown. Last summer, I learned broccoli was locally grown for us. So there's just so much that we're doing to buy local. So sometimes people are like, you know, I'd love to support more local, but I don't have the time or energy to go to the farmer's market. And I love me a farmer's market, but a lot of times I'm running through the grocery store too, and knowing that you can support local and then, you know, local brands as well. We've got those in store, but you can support all of that in your local economy just by visiting the grocery store.
All right. Finally, Emily, I always like to look to the future as we close our conversation here. If you're designing that store for the future, what's coming next in the grocery store experience?
I'm gonna take this back to the dietitian side. I am really excited about the nutrition moment that we're having in terms of shoppability, because that's something, there's a lot more focus on health right now. There's a lot more attention on that. And what I'm most excited about is the fact that, like, integrated right into our website is opt up. So if you're like, hey, Emily, I love me some granola bars or some protein bars. So, Jeff, you can do that. You can go online and shop for those and look at those nutrition facts panels, or you can look at that food health score. Make it really easy for you. Scroll down a little farther, and it'll be like, Jeff, here's some things that rank a little bit higher. So there's just so much in that nutrition space.